Radio Adventure Theater. I'm Tom Bosley. Welcome again into the magical world of radio, where your imagination can take you by the hand, through the air, to the most exciting and even incredible adventures you ever dreamed of. Now, I don't usually say incredible, but today's adventure story is just that. Sometimes I hate to say how long ago something was first published, lest you think it's old hat or old-fashioned. Gulliver's Travels, which you'll hear in the next hour, was written 250 years ago. And believe me, it could have been yesterday. Our story of adventure, Gulliver's Travels, was written by Jonathan Swift and adapted especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by G. Frederick Lewis. It stars Michael Tolan. I'll be back in a few moments with Act One. I hate to give the serious reasons why Jonathan Swift wrote Gulliver's Travels, because for you it's just an extraordinary adventure story. Forget the meaning underneath and listen to the travels of a man of the 1700s to strange lands meeting strange people. You'll be amazed and amused, so no double meaning. In those days, lots of people must have thought Swift was writing about real people. Otherwise, why would the author not put his name on the book? Which he didn't. It was many years before anybody found out who really wrote Gulliver's Travels. And now, as our tour guide, here is Gulliver himself.
Let me tell you of my visit to the land of magic, which lies west of California, somewhere in the North Pacific Ocean. The natives called it the island of Gullub Dubdrib, which translated means only sorcerers and magicians live there. I'd been becalmed in the Pacific and drifted for days. Finally, I came upon this island, landed, beached my boat, and from the shore I could see a palace. I walked to the gate and rang a bell.
Who goes there?
Lemuel Gulliver.
Lemuel Gulliver who?
Lemuel Gulliver, doctor, scientist, sea captain, world traveler.
Who do you wish to see?
Oh, I'm not particular. How about the head man?
You may enter. The governor will see you.
Really? How do you know he'll see me?
He sees everybody. We are now in the inner palace chamber. Be seated.
Is the headman particular which...
Governor!
Well, is he particular which of these three stools I sit on?
No. Only sitting on the floor or standing on your head is not permitted.
I don't see any windows or doors in here. How does he... Oh, gracious goodness, how did you do that?
Lemuel Gulliver, Esquire?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How did you appear like that?
Like what?
Walking through the wall. It's like magic.
It is not like magic, dear Gulliver. It is magic.
And you're the head,
The governing magical sorcerer, the chief wizard. Oh, I have a lot of names.
Is that the way you always come into a room? Just snap your fingers and there you are?
When I snap my fingers, all mankind awaits my orders.
Really? Everybody? Anywhere?
Past or present.
Amazing. Can you make anybody appear or disappear?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Anybody present, anybody past.
Alexander the Great? Julius Caesar? Adam and Eve?
Oh, many of them, but one at a time. First, Gulliver, I want you to tell me a little about yourself. You say you're a world traveler?
I certainly am. I haven't stopped traveling in 7 years.
You're so lucky not to be tied down. I've often wondered what it would be like to get out of the country for a spell. Well, Gulliver, let's have a report on where you've been, huh?
I'll be honest. I was frightened. If the governor didn't like me or what I had to tell him, he could snap his fingers and I'd be gone. Gone forever. So believe me, I made my story as good as I could.
Why, Gulliver, you're joking. Little people.
6 inches high. Little people called Lilliputians. Half a foot high only when they're fully grown adults. So, as I said, my ship was wrecked. And I was knocked unconscious. And when I woke up, I was stretched out on the ground, held by 1,000 tiny ropes the Lilliputians had tied me down with.
Well, I guess with a castaway of your size, they weren't taking any chances, huh?
That's what I figured. I couldn't move.
And then what happened?
I was very hungry, as you can imagine. And I told them so.
Oh, then they spoke English.
Words of one syllable. So I said, come on now, feed me, I'm starving. So the little people ran to get ladders and put them up against my side, and hundreds of them climbed on top of me, walked to my mouth with baskets of meat and loaves of bread. The meat was cooked lamb and beef, but tiny as a lark's wings. And the bread, well, a bullet is larger than a Lilliputian loaf of bread. It took hours.
No, I'm going to stop you right there, Gulliver. Frankly, I find your story hard to believe, and I don't like lies.
I swear to you, I'm not lying. How can I prove it?
Well, you can't, but I can. Now, I'm going to snap my fingers, and if I can make a crowd of Lilliputians appear right here...
I hope they're listening.
As well, here goes.
I will be gone. They're amazing. Perfect little dolls. Look at how well dressed they are. They're so cute.
Oh, you see that one on a tiny horse with the little flag bearers on either side? That's the Emperor of Lilliput.
Hi, Emperor.
I can't make out what he's saying. There's such a racket down there.
They're surprised at seeing me again. And you too.
Yes, Emperor, yes, that's right. I'm very glad to have been of some small service.
You see, Governor, the Lilliputians had a terrible problem, and I gave them a hand.
Oh.
They were going to be invaded by the Empire of Lefescu, just across the sea. And the enemy had a fleet of 800 ships.
My.
No, I'm just telling the Governor here, Emperor, of our sea adventure.
So, one day, I waded out into their ocean. I mean, it was a pretty deep, large puddle. And I hooked up each of the enemy ships and towed the whole darn Blefescu fleet back to Lilliput with me. I captured it.
Well, Gulliver, I do believe your story. How could I not? Now, I'll snap my fingers so that all these fellows can get back to Lilliput before they all get stiff-necked looking up at us.
I was, of course, fascinated by this ability of the governor of the Land of Magic to be able to call up anybody at will. I'd always wanted to know how Shakespeare wrote his plays. Heaven knows I'd never again get a chance like this.
You name him, I'll get him.
Shakespeare?
All right. William Shakespeare, center stage, please.
Who calleth me from the world beyond?
Mr. Shakespeare, I'm afraid I did. I'm Lemuel Gulliver. I have never met a great poet, playwright, writer before, and I just could not pass up this opportunity.
Writer, yes. Poet, perhaps. Playwright, only because our actors banded together into a repertory company, and I wrote for them.
Repertory company? Does that mean you repeated the plays you wrote?
You've hit it. In later days, what we did will be called a stock company. We started the whole idea. Stocks, meaning shares.
It was your own company of actors doing your own plays. Right, Mr. Shakespeare?
Wrong. Not only my plays. We'd perform 15 plays a month. That's a different drama every 2 days. And there wasn't always time to write. I was an actor, too. I played Hamlet's Ghost and... Oh, I've quite a list of very good acting credits. In a year, I might act in 50 to 60 plays.
How did you find time for all that, Mr. Shakespeare?
And I taught drama and comedy classes. Our method of acting to the younger players, especially the boys who played the women's parts.
Oh, I've seen boys do that. They carried off rather well.
Well, up to a point. A boy can imitate a woman being flirtatious or gay or even unhappy. But they don't know how to act motherly.
Is that so? So you couldn't write any parts for mothers?
No, I could not. My heroines, Cordelia, Desdemona, Ophelia, Jessica, Kate, only appear with their fathers.
What did you do with the mothers?
They never appear.
And, Gulliver, I think we have kept Mr. Shakespeare too long.
Oh, not at all, no. I always enjoy a return engagement.
It's been a real pleasure. Very enlightening indeed. Especially about the boys playing girls' parts.
Well, goodbye to each and all of you. Farewell.
That was highly entertaining. What an actor. Do we have time for one more before lunch?
Oh, be my guest.
I was thinking, Governor. A sea captain like myself. Say, an admiral? Could you get Christopher Columbus to appear? I'd love to meet him.
Oh, are you sure? You know, Columbus didn't die a happy man. No, he's a depressing fellow, very depressing. I know. We've talked.
How can I not meet him? He's one of the great explorers of all time. We're in the same business.
Well, of course, if you put it that way. Christopher Columbus, discoverer of the New World.
Senor Governador. Governor.
Welcome, Columbus. This is Lemuel Gulliver. He's a sea captain, a great admirer of yours. He wants to ask you a few questions.
That has been the problem of my whole life, senor. Questions. And, Senor Gulliver, one does not always have the answers. You know, the Queen Isabella, I could not make her understand. To find the east, I had to sail west.
But you proved you were right.
Ah, prove. What do they care? I crossed the ocean four times. 8 years later, they shipped me back to Spain in chains, a prisoner. What a way to bring back a hero like me.
What did King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella do then?
Oh, of course, I was released. They gave me 2,000 ducats. It was very emotional. I cried. They cried.
Senor Columbus, if you had to do it all over again...
Yes, I would do it all over again. Find the New World. Oh, it was written in the stars. My fate... Did I answer your questions, Senor Bolivar?
Gulliver. Yes, you did, without my having to ask them.
As well. Goodbye, Columbus.
By the time I'd been on the Magic Island a week and had called up as many great people of history as I could think of, I'd had enough. Believe me, there is nothing as disappointing as learning the truth about the past. It made me realize that most of the exploits, heroic acts, and accomplishments of yesterday were mostly by accident and rarely appreciated.
Gulliver took leave of the governor of Glubbdubdrib, and on the 21st of April, 1709, sailed up into the river of Clumegnig, a seaport town. And there experienced one of the most unbelievable of all his visits to strange and unknown places. I'll be back shortly with Act Two. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
Thank you, Daddy.
So here is Lemuel Gulliver again traveling. He arrived up the river Clumegnig, right outside the town of Lugnag. Oh, I'll spell that for you. L-U-G-G-N-A-G-G. Lugnag. But Gulliver's crew were suspicious of this strange world traveler who came from far off England, so they whispered to the Lugnag customs official to watch Gulliver. He might be up to no good.
You say your name is Emmanuel Tulliver?
Oh, no. Lemuel Gulliver.
May we see your passport?
Passport? What's that?
A little book to enable you to pass our port.
I have no such book. Where could I secure such a thing?
That presents a problem.
A problem? What problem?
Well, how can we at the Lugnag port of entry know you are who you say you are?
Oh, well, I can prove that easily enough. By relating to you some of my travels... No one else but a Gulliver would travel as I do or where I do. May I?
By all means.
Well, I was aboard my ship, the Adventure, some months ago, bound for India, when I happened to land on the coast of the Great Tartary. Are you familiar with the Great Tartary, sir?
Well, I've heard of it, but not seen it.
Now, just as well. The Great Tartary is inhabited by giants 80 feet high.
Whew.
They caught me. Then they sold me to the queen of the Great Tartary.
Who's the same height?
No, she was a bit smaller, 70 feet. Subsequently, I was...
One moment, Mr. Gulliver. You're making it most difficult for me to believe.
It was difficult for me to believe. Subsequently, I had adventures with giant rats, the size of lions, and just as ferocious.
Oh, dear.
Adventures with a dwarf, poor chap, only 30 feet high. Adventures with wasps, the size of partridges.
Oh.
Apples, the size of barrels, and hailstones, the size of tennis balls.
I presume you escaped this land of giants.
Oh, indeed I did. Quite by accident.
I see. How?
A large bird swooped down, lifted up the dwelling I was living in, dropped me into the sea, and I was rescued by a ship on its way back to England.
Sir, all of this is too fantastic for me to believe.
What does that mean?
That before we can allow you to roam about our country, you will have to be detained. We shall apply to the officials in charge to tell us what must be done with you.
How long will that take?
Well, I shall write today. I would say an answer would be forthcoming in 2 weeks. Guard, take this gentleman to the Lugnut Detention Center, please.
That was bad luck. I was placed in a house with a garden and sentry. I enjoyed walking every day in the garden, and from time to time I would be visited by certain citizens of Lugnag. Then one day I was told the king himself wished me to be brought to the palace. When?
As soon as possible.
Well, then what are we waiting for? Mustn't keep kings waiting.
But what about the problem?
Well, what problem?
I don't have State Department clearance for you to enter the country. That's the question.
I'll tell you what. Why don't I keep this date with His Majesty, and I'll put it to him?
You will? Well, I don't know. Going over the head of my superiors, they might not like it.
Well, I won't say anything about the Customs Department. Just that, by the way, I'm being held because I don't have a passport, and so on and so on.
Oh, if you would be so good.
Not at all. Is he a nice king?
I really don't know. None of his subjects have ever met him.
What? You mean no one?
Well, he's got this palace guard around him. So far as I know, he doesn't see anyone except foreign dignitaries.
That customs official was quite right. Tight security, palace guards, long corridors, square rooms, round rooms, oval rooms, and finally, the palace anteroom.
Yes, what is it?
My name's Lemuel Gulliver. I understand the king wants to see me.
Have you prepared talking papers for the meeting?
Well, I haven't prepared anything. I thought he might like to ask me about my travels, and I could tell him a few stories.
The king works much better off a piece of paper than face to face. That way, he has the input on a need-to-know basis.
Goodness, sir. All right, a talking paper. You learn something every day. I was told the king doesn't see many people.
Well, a fact of life, Gulliver. We can't put up with any interruptions when the king is thinking big thoughts on big problems.
Well, maybe that's why he sent for me. Travel is my second name.
Well, you don't say. Gulliver Travel?
What's yours, sir?
Chicken Stalker. Okay, Chicken Stalker.
Mr. Chicken Stalker, you're the...
I do the downfield blocking for the king. Whenever there's a new game plan or a feasibility study, I check all four corners and then I put my chop mark on it. It is my job to run the palace on zero fallibility.
Oh. You know something, Mr. Chicken Stalker? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, good. Couldn't be better. I'll note that in today's decision papers. I like you, Gulliver. Tell you what, we'll skip phase one and phase two and go right on to phase three.
Does that bring me closer to meeting the king?
Closer is the word. You know the routine.
Oh, I'm a stranger here. I don't know anything.
Oh, fine, Gulliver. Now, follow this. I set up a time when it's the king's gracious pleasure for you to have the honor to lick the dust in front of his footstool.
That's a new one on me. Tell me what I do.
Now, the king will be in the square office. When you're admitted, you crawl on your belly and lick the floor as you advance.
Yeah, lick the floor as I advance.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're, say, 4 yards from the throne, raise yourself up on your knees and strike your forehead 7 times on the ground. And then you say the following words. Ickpling, glothrob, skrstrum, bleop, grunted, bonk.
I better write that down so I can memorize it. What does that mean in English, okay? May I call you okay?
Certainly can. May I call you Lynn?
You better not. Everybody calls me Gulliver.
Now, the meaning. Ickpling, glothrob, and so on, and so, zonk. Yes, it means, may your celestial majesty outlive the sun 11 moons and a half. Now, at that point, the king will say to me, chicken stalker, have that man get to his feet. Now, you get up. And you say, fluff grin, yelark, mere push, which means my tongue is in the mouth of a friend.
You mean because I've licked so much dust?
No. Your tongue is in the mouth of a friend means you will get an interpreter, and then get on with the interview. You see, the king speaks only Lugnak.
But I don't know any interpreters.
I'm your interpreter. Okay, chicken slaughter. Stick with me, Gulliver.
I guess I'll have to, okay?
No other options. Now, if you don't, you are off the reservation.
I decided that learning all that lugnag, meeting the king, licking the dust from the square office, just wasn't worth it. So the next day, on the pretext of having to rehearse with Chicken Stalker at the palace, instead I headed for the wharf and made a deal with a boatman to sell me a sailboat. I named it the Adventure 2, set sail immediately. And true to my luck, a storm came up. And what do you think happened? My boat couldn't take it. It broke apart. The mast fell on my head. And when I woke up, a horse was nudging me. A horse that talked. That's what I said.
Yahoo! Wake up.
Hey, stop that.
Hey is for horses. Get up, Yahoo.
What's this Yahoo? My name's Gulliver. Lemuel Gulliver.
I said, stand up.
What is this, a talking horse giving orders? Oh, all right. I'm getting up. Where am I?
This is who in them country.
What?
Who in them country. Follow me, Yahoo.
Why do you call me Yahoo? I told you what my name was.
Well, all those creatures of your description are called Yahoos. Yahoos are our workmen, our slaves.
You're joking. You mean in this country, humans slave to horses? Who runs the country?
We do. The Hooyanim.
Well, I don't care what you call yourselves. You do look exactly like horses, down to the tail and the last hoof.
Are you coming with me, or aren't you?
Is it far?
What difference should that make? We tell you walk, you walk.
Look, Sir Horse, if you are bewitched or whatever, that's all right with me. Now, obviously, you are superior to most horses I've ever been acquainted with. Now, try to understand my point of view, will you? I am a poor, distressed Englishman driven by misfortune upon your coast. I am very tired, extremely. I've been shipwrecked.
Yahoo, you walk. I order you to walk. Or would you prefer a hard, swift kick?
I preferred to walk, or rather I dragged myself. After about 3 miles, Mr. Horse and I came to his house. A long building with a low roof covered in straw and a floor of hard clay. Between you and me, it looked like a stable with a fireplace at one end.
Go on in, Yahoo. You first.
Very nice. You live here all alone?
Boh, I should say not. My family's large, but right now they're all out for a canter. Good for the health. Now that I look more closely at you, Yahoo, I would say you're a very strange specimen, to say nothing of your, conversational abilities.
You know, I was thinking the very same thing about you.
Your skin is so peculiar, I've never seen anything like it. Yahoo, let me touch it.
Hey, take your hoof from my sleeve.
Oh, is that what you call sleeve? Yahoo's call it an arm.
Oh, I think I understand you.
You believe that my clothing is part of my body, is that it?
Clothing?
Well, this comes off, see? Here, this is a jacket, and under that I'm wearing a shirt.
Your hooves, they come off too?
Yes, they do, but we call them shoes and stockings.
You're a very strange yahoo.
Look, if you've done with examining me, I'd like to know, do people live around here?
People?
Well, let's say yahoos who look like me.
Oh, we have plenty of yahoos, but none of them look like you. No. Would you like to see them?
Why not?
All right. Knock my hoof on the floor and they come. And now you three yahoos stand there. This is a new yahoo who just arrived.
Great heavens, these ugly monsters, these are yahoos. They look like gorillas.
Hey, get him off me. He's choking me, for heaven's sake. Do something. Don't just stand there. Pull this gorilla away. Help!
Stop that. Stop or I'll whip you.
Don't help me. Please, someone. Help!
To be an adventurous Englishman of the 1700s, to have braved Lilliputians, giants, magicians, and to end one's days in the kingdom of horses being choked to death by gorilla-like slaves, well, that certainly is not the way Gulliver would have planned it. What happens next, I shall have for you when I return shortly with Act Three. General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. Jonathan Swift wasn't just writing fairy tales for children when he wrote Gulliver's Travels. Well, not that I'm knocking fairy tales. Believe me, some of the greatest adventure stories ever put on paper are fairy tales. But Swift was showing up English society for what it was in his day. And if you feel there's a lot of truth in the peculiar characters you're meeting today, well, so do I. And now, back to the unfortunate Gulliver.
Help! Get him off me!
I'll start that, Yahoo!
Stop!
Or I'll whip my hide off you! Back up! Go ahead! Into the corner! You all right, Gulliver?
Oh, those creatures are dangerous. I wouldn't have them around the house.
Well, it's extremely rare they behave in such an animalistic fashion when berserk. You too. Fetch some food here. Are you hungry, Gulliver? There's some hay and a bucket of our gourmet oats. Now go. Now, Gulliver, you speak of human beings. Our yahoos are a low species. We keep them under control. Otherwise, who knows what mischief they'd be into. We Huyanims have long ago learned the only way to handle these specimens is to give them simple tasks to do and beat them if they don't do it.
My dear friend, there is more to life than sleeping and eating. One has to feed one's mind, too. And one's spirit.
Ah, we don't have mind and spirit to feed.
But there's so much missing. Literature, poetry, music, even food. Do you eat anything besides hay and oats?
You don't eat that?
I hope you didn't just order that gourmet meal for me.
Oh, yes, I did. I thought you'd be hungry.
Mr. Horace, I don't know for how long I shall be stranded here, but if that's all the food you have, it looks like I shall never be leaving. I'll starve to death first. I went to bed hungry that night. I also went to bed stiff and sore and bruised from that yahoo's choking.
Top of the morning to you, Gulliver Yahoo.
Hmm? Oh. Well, at least you're calling me Gulliver, that's something. Oh, I am famished.
Worse, we were talking yesterday about your diet. Do you like milk?
Milk? Do you have cows?
Of course we do.
Well, certainly I drink milk. Do you people ever make cheese?
Cheese?
I must teach you how to make cheese from milk and a few other things. Say, if you get me some oats...
Oh, you will eat oats.
No, not raw, but I may be able to make something edible out of it. Something I can get down.
Well, how will you do that?
You sit me in front of a fire, give me two stones and some water, and I'll show you. I'm going to make a simple kind of oat cake. Do you understand, Mr. Horse?
Oh, Gulliver, I have been patient with you, and I will stop calling you Yahoo if you stop calling me a horse. We are all of us here called Hooyanim.
All right, let me try to say it. Hooyanim. Hooyanim. Ah. Hooyanim. I've got it, Mr. Hooyanim.
And no misters, whatever that is.
No, of course. How silly of me. There must be mares and colts here, too, right? Well, anyway, oats.
Coming up. Yahoo, bring the oats. The best oats.
Now, I begin by heating the oats by the fire. Now, take up a handful and rub it between my hands. And, with an expert movement, toss what I have rubbed straight into the air. Hey, you see what happens? The chaff blows away and the oat kernels drop.
Amazing.
No, it hasn't begun to become amazing yet. Got two stones? Oh, yes, yes, here. Now, I grind the grain between these two stones. And grind away. Is this water in this bowl?
That's what you asked for.
Uh-huh. Add water to the ground grain, making this paste. See? Now, I shape the paste into a cake. There. Done. I push the oat cake closer to the fire and wait. I'll have some of that milk you promised me.
More. Yahoo! Bring the bowl of milk.
They don't speak, but they do understand you.
Only because we have trained them. Put the milk bowl on the ground next to Gulliver, and then you may leave.
This is the last step of my first cooking lesson, old chap. The oat cake is brown on top. Notice? I flip it over to toast it a bit on the other side. There. Then break off a piece. Take a drink of milk. A bit of oat cake. Not bad. Not bad at all. And that is my breakfast.
You can live on that?
No, not entirely, but I saw some edible greens and herbs outside. I can eat those raw or boiled.
Boiled? Well, what's that?
Heating on the fire.
Would it be too much to ask if you would remove those?
Shoes?
And those long white...
Hose. Stockings. Oh, certainly.
I am curious to see how your hooves look. Are they curled with claws like a yahoo's? Or cloven as ours are? Here,
first the shoe. And now the hose. And there it is. Those five little pink things at the end are called the toes. This is a foot.
Well, it is quite plain to see, Gulliver, that you are a perfect yahoo. Oh, yeah. I have never seen such a perfect one before.
Now I have a favor to ask of you. Those yahoos you have enslaved, if you treat them as humans, not animals, they may become human. Would you consider it?
I'll put it to a vote, but our experience makes me doubt it. The yahoos may be primitive, but your favorite occupation would never occur to them.
What, pray?
Whatever little mischief they make, they would never go to war.
I was rather enjoying my stay with these intelligent talking horses. Nevertheless, I had a hankering to move on. Every day I go down to the beach, just in case I might see a ship. And finally, one day, I was rewarded. A ship lay at anchor offshore, and I stood watching as a longboat put out. As the sailors beached the boat, someone who I thought looked familiar hopped out.
Kind sir,
I'm looking for Emmanuel Tolliver. Would you direct me where I could find him?
You're the customs official from Lugnag.
Well, so I am. How did you know?
Well, don't you recognize me, sir?
Can't say I do. But in Lugnag, no one is permitted to wear a beard. It hides the expression of the face. But you, sir, have quite a splendid growth. Yeah,
only because there is no such thing as a razor or a barber in Huyanim country.
Do I know you?
Well, if you're looking for Emmanuel Tolliver, I am not he. But if it's Lemuel Gulliver you want, I am he.
You are Gulliver?
I am. And I suggest we get a move on, because those horses bearing down on us run this country. And if we get caught, we'll all end up in a stable with bars.
Okay.
Now tell your men to shove the boat off. Let's get out of here. At this moment, I would give anything not to have been so impetuous. A diet of oats, dandelion salad, and milk, with yahoos to wait on me and horses to talk to, was preferable to being in chains, as I am now, imprisoned in Lugnag. I was told the king was furious that a visiting dignitary refused to lick his way into the royal presence. So they'd been looking for me, and found me. Too bad.
Gulliver?
Oh, hello, okay.
So, you went off the reservation.
The king got angry, huh? Well, you see, I'm a restless fellow. I had to be off to the next adventure.
Well, you can't always think of yourself. Now, I had told the king all about you. And when you skipped town, I was left with egg all over my face.
Well, I'm sorry, okay? It was thoughtless, but what could I do?
Await the pleasure of the king.
Hurricane, cyclone, whirlwind. I found myself sucked up high into the air, spun around and around crazily, and at last, dumped, as has happened to me so often in my life, into the water, miles out at sea. I never saw the land of Lugnag again, or the land of Huyanins, or the Magic Land, or Lilliput. Were they all destroyed by the hurricane? Or do they exist somewhere today? Hold on. I see a boat on the horizon. You will excuse me if I pull off my shirt to use as a signal flag. Do you suppose that ship is headed back to England? Or are they bound for a new and strange land?
Lemuel Gulliver is created by Jonathan Swift. He is such a real and admirable person that even today people like him. Direct and decent, full of goodwill, a scientist, a doctor, a keen observer of what's going on around him. The kind of adventurous spirit you wouldn't mind having as a member of your own family. Is that what Jonathan Swift really had in mind? Tell you in a moment.
Laboratory safety team.
What did Jonathan Swift set out to do with his story of Gulliver's travels? Well, putting it in today's terms, Swift was knocking the establishment. He also knocked a couple of 18th century heads together and opened a lot of people's eyes merely by having Gulliver voyaging his imaginary world and saying, "Hey, what's going on here?" And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Included Michael Tolan, Ian Martin, Earl Hammond, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.